Thanks for tuning in to the Vintage Cinema Review. On this week's episode, we're covering from 1985, Goonies.
Oh, story of adventure, pirates, swashbuckling, treasure. This is a fantastic movie.
This is one, when you're growing up, this is what you picture, like an afternoon or an evening, being like with your friends, just getting lost somewhere and
exploring.
Letting the adventure take you.
True. Yeah. This one definitely back in the day, man, got me into that, like going on an adventure or, you know, definitely inspired me to try something. I never did anything, but it inspired me. But I like this movie. It's a cool one to review. We hope you're enjoying our show. Speaking of which, leave us that 5-star rating, whether it be on Spotify, Apple, Google, wherever you're listening. On Apple, you can leave us a written review and sit back, relax, and enjoy The Goonies. Hey, this is Dave,
Matt,
and Zap,
and welcome to the Vintage Cinema Review,
where every week we review some of our favorite films from the past.
Hey, there ain't no late fees here.
Silence is golden, and be kind, rewind.
Hi, everybody down in the basement.
What's going on?
Hey, what's going down, bro?
Good afternoon. Yeah. Have a really vintage, great vintage Spielberg cinema.
Yeah, 1985.
1985. That was the year of Back to the Future.
Yes, it was.
I didn't even know we were in 85 this movie was out, honestly.
For real?
Yeah, I didn't think it was that old.
I did. I kind of remember it being around that time.
I came very late to the game on this movie.
Oh, really?
Mm. Yeah, I didn't see this until after high school.
Whoa.
Yeah. Oh my God! No, I saw it back. Yeah, when it came out, I remember. I have an older brother.
Yeah, I don't remember it when it came out. I don't recall it.
Yeah, because I remember this kind of made me want to take an adventure and do something. You know what I mean? It kind of sparked that interest in me just as a kid.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay. No.
And the movie we're talking about is.
Oh yeah.
Anyway. Oh. Oh. Go ahead, Dave. Yeah, John. Zap. Somebody.
The Goonies.
Yeah.
Goonies. The Goonies.
Yep.
Goonies. That's the only reason I knew about this movie is Cyndi Lauper had a the Goonies song.
The song,
yeah. And it had the one wrestler guy with the
Lou Albano.
No, yeah, Captain Lou.
Captain Lou.
And he had the with the band or now, rubber
he
bands.
He was in Girls Just Want to Have Fun. I don't know if he was in.
I think he was in Goonies.
In the video.
In the video, yes.
Which was like a 12-minute video, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I didn't see the video.
Fun fact: the video came out months after the movie had come out.
Wait, are you talking about the song from this movie or yep. The Girls Just Want to Have Fun video?
Good Enough.
Good Enough, okay. Yep,
the song from the movie. Are good enough.
Yeah, I remember the song, like hearing it even before watching it again, obviously, but I don't remember the video. I got to go back and watch that.
Yeah. There's a scene in the movie where they're sitting in Mikey's house and you're led to believe that they're sitting there watching that Cyndi Lauper video. Not true.
Mm.
They're not watching the video that was made for that song. It just happened to be just a clip of her.
Yeah. Yeah. Walking around in the house or whatever, or dancing through, and then they jump on their bikes and,
And take off.
Yep. Yeah.
Gotcha. So yeah, Goonies, 1985, rated PG. Release date on this, June 7th, 1985. So summer movie. That would have been before Back to the Future. I think Back to the Future was July. That year.
Cool.
If memory serves me correct on that. But running time on this was 114 minutes. This was directed by Richard Donner. Screenplay by Chris Columbus. And story by Steven Spielberg. So there's three heavy hitters there.
Heavy hitters, absolutely.
Yeah. This was produced by Richard Donner and Harvey Bernhard.
And, Harvey Bernhard.
Yeah. Budget on this, $19 million. And then the box office... $125 million.
Dang.
So, all right. Pretty good return.
Paid nothing.
Yeah.
To film this.
Juice is worth the squeeze, man.
Very much so.
You wonder if Back to the Future didn't come out a month later, if this would have done even better. I'm trying to think back in the 80s, like if you went out to the movies, if you would just go see everything or if there were some things that you would just wait. Like, you know what I mean? Like, in other words, if there's like three or four like really, really great movies, do you watch, do you go to the theater for all three or four, or do you wait, you know what I mean?
I think they stayed, so movies stayed in theaters much longer back then. And right. the
Yeah, today's like a week.
Yeah.
And then they're on
the home
stuff.
Yeah,
they're on the home stuff.
So they're gonna ditch out of the theaters quicker. But like as a great for example, like Beverly Hills Cop 2, I remember Beverly Hills Cop 2 when that came out, I didn't go see it. But I remember that being in the theaters like all summer long. Because this is back when you open up the newspaper to see when the movies were playing, right?
Right.
Actual summer blockbusters.
Yeah.
Right.
Or you called the movie phone.
The phone number, yeah.
Yeah. Like 4 months. Months that thing was in the theaters.
Theater one, Beverly Hills Cop two.
Yeah. Obviously now, like with streaming, everything comes right to your house. You don't even really, you know, when there's like a big movie like Avatar or something, or Star Wars or something.
You
like
want to see in the theaters.
Like that'll get me out to go to the theater.
Sure.
But I'm trying to think back in the 80s. There wasn't really much going on other than, you know, movies and Nintendo and all that. Like, would you go see 5, 6, 7 movies over the summer, you know?
Oh, yeah, because the summer blockbuster season or whatever they would call it, the guy like, this summer.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That was a must.
Yeah,
definitely. But that was a good summer for movies, just with those two alone.
Hell yeah.
I can't think off the top of my head what else came out. But this was filmed in Astoria, part of Oregon there, a little town, real nice looking town. And obviously at Burbank Studios, they did some work down there in California.
So he showed like the pirate ship they had in there and the slide scene and all that fun, cool kid stuff.
At Astoria, Oregon, though. Yep. That was a cool looking town.
Yeah. I just learned a fun fact today.
Oh, yeah.
From Quarter's brother, Phil.
Okay.
Who had mentioned when I was telling him that we were recording this, he said, oh, Goonies, filmed in Oregon. That's the second movie I know of that was filmed in Oregon. Oh, well, what was the first one, Phil? Animal House.
Oh, really?
I had no idea.
Me neither.
It was either Oregon State or some other whatever.
Okay, yeah, one of the colleges.
Yeah, but that was Faber College used for in Animal House. So they filmed up so much of that shit up there. I had no idea.
That's a fun fact.
I didn't know that, yeah. Hmm. That's not in my fun facts, so I'm glad that came up now because I didn't know about that.
There's no way that would have been in your fun facts.
No, not unless Phil got a website.
Ooh,
you know what I mean?
Maybe.
But that's a good one, man. I like that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Quarters, brother.
Quarters, yeah.
Biggie ups to Phil.
Biggie ups. Respect.
Respect, pa.
Yeah. So the filming dates on this October of 1984 through March of 85. So pretty extensive for some, you know, most movies I've seen.
Sure.
But Spielberg and them guys, you know what I mean? They're perfectionists, I'm sure.
I still don't see $19 million. I thought there'd be a lot more with that big ship and.
Yeah, they built that, yeah.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, I thought it'd be more than $19 million. The location, I guess Oregon, you don't have to pay much. They were just riding around on the streets and stuff. And
all those actors were young and new.
Yeah, so they're not getting anything.
I forget which actor it was, but one of them got like 40 grand.
Yeah, that was Corey Feldman, I believe.
There you go.
Yeah,
yeah, Feldman was a stud in the industry at that time.
Mm. Yep. So that's all I got for the budget, all that fun stuff. So I guess I'll turn it over to Zap for the cast.
Sure. Cast of the Goonies includes, but is not limited to, Sean Astin as Mikey Walsh. Josh Brolin, in his film debut, by the way, as Brandon Brand Walsh. Jeff Cohen as Lawrence Chunk Cohen.
That guy's a lawyer now.
Is he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Saw a thing on him.
Corey Feldman as Clark Mouth Devereaux.
He's just nuts.
Yeah.
He is. Now, I know this guy just recently won an Oscar for whatever the hell, Everything Everywhere All at Once, but I... Ki Hui Kwan?
Kwan, yeah.
Okay, Ki Hui Kwan as Richard Data Wang. Now, I had no idea his name was Richard or Wang.
I just knew Data.
In the movie,
I just knew it was Data.
Well, yeah, they made a comment about how a lot of these actors don't really use their real name. Like, their actual character names are all, like, nicknames. A lot of them in the movie, So
we have also Cary Grean as Andrea Teresa Andy Carmichael. Martha Plimpton as Stephanie Steph Steinbrenner. Anne Ramsey as Mama Fratelli. Robert Davi as Jake Fratelli, one of Mama Fratelli's sons. Joe Pantoliano as Francis Fratelli, another son of Mama Fratelli. John Matuszak as Lotney Sloth Fratelli.
Lotney Sloth.
Lotney was his first name. Yeah, I had no idea.
That's another one. Yeah.
Who was Pantalones? Is that what's
Joey Pants? Yeah.
Yeah, but he was the one that she liked. The son that she liked.
So allegedly the favorite is actually Robert Davi.
Oh, okay. Mm.
The guy with the pocked face.
Yeah. Pantalones.
Joe Pantoliano.
Yeah.
Who had the toupee?
Back then too. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Was just the other one who complained that Jake, played by Robert Davi, was his mom's favorite.
That's your
favorite,
you know what, the movie tricked me because that's the first thing I saw when I saw Joey Pants, because I know him from Sopranos and other stuff, and I'm like, oh man, back when he had hair. And I'm watching the first couple of scenes, and then you find out it's not real hair anyhow. Yeah. So I was like, damn, he was bald back then. I guess he would have been. I looked his age up, probably about 35 around then. So
he looked older. Yeah. It might have been 1985.
You, look, you lose old. Your hair. Look, yeah. man, you start losing that hair, you're going to look older.
Mm-hmm.
We have Steve Anton as Troy Perkins, Mary Ellen Trainer as Irene Walsh, Mikey and Bran's mother, Keith Walker as Irving Walsh, Mikey and Bran's father, Kurt Hansen as Elgin Perkins, Troy's father, Paul Twerp as the sheriff, and Lupe Ontiveros
Rosalita.
As Rosalita.
Now, her that was a great character.
She was.
Yeah.
She's the hero in the end.
Yes.
Yeah. Not to give it away, but.
Ay, Dios mío. Ay, Dios mío. Dios mío.
That was great.
She was cool.
Yeah. That's all I got for the cast.
Yeah, that's Steve Anton. He's the boyfriend. Like that driving the Mustang and all that. Man. So I'm looking at that guy and I'm like, oh, it's Glenn Gulia, you know, from Wedding Singer. And that's the second time I confuse that guy with Glenn Gulia. It's not Glenn Gulia, but he looks a lot like Glenn Gulia.
He does.
But he was actually in Last American Virgin, the Steve Anton.
Steve Anton.
And I thought the same thing when I saw that. I'm
Which
like,
reminds me, I have your copy of that DVD.
Oh, yeah.
He was
yeah.
the jerk friend, the one that was getting the lady.
He's playing the same type character, but that's what a, kind of Glenn Gulia was. That guy's a different actor, but they look a lot alike to me.
Julia Gulia?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's all I got for the cast. Right? One more time. Yeah. That's all I got.
All right, so I guess we'll turn it over to Matt for the synopsis.
Oh, we have a real, like the real deal synopsis right here.
That's the real deal, holy deal.
It is the Warner Brothers Family Entertainment. Steven Spielberg presents The Goonies, a Richard Donner film. That's great. Like reading off of these.
Mm-hmm.
A deliciously dizzy adventure with crowd-pleasing fun. From the imagination of Steven Spielberg, The Goonies plunges a band of small heroes into a swashbuckling surprise around every corner, quests beyond their wildest dreams. Following a mysterious treasure map into a spectacular underground realm of twisting passages, outrageous booby traps, and a long list of pirate ships full of golden doubloons, the kids race to stay one step ahead of the family of bumbling bad guys. A mild-mannered monster with a face only a mother could love, a family adventure classic from start to buccaneering finish. The Goonies is a cinematic treasure trove of breathtaking action, dazzling effects, and shiver ye timbers thrills. The Goonies.
Yeah. Oh,
nice.
That's like the movie right there.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
That was it, man. I don't have to walk us through shit.
Yeah. Thank you, everybody. Thank you.
And that's from Zap's DVD copy.
Yeah, this is from the Zap collection.
Zap collection. Yeah. At one point, I had inventoried all of my DVDs because I got a fuck ton.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But I stopped keeping track. And then I stopped buying them.
Yeah, I had a ton. I still have a decent amount, but I had sold off a bunch, you know, over the years at yard sales and stuff, movies that I didn't think. I would buy a movie just because it was cheap.
Yeah, I remember it's hard because you always go to the $2 bins.
Hell yeah. Like,
oh, man, it's $2.
I can either rent it for $4 or buy it for $6. You know, one of them. Because then when Blockbuster was doing those like...
liquidations.
Well, what would they put on there? Like they would have like pre-owned, you know, like a sale, you know. And I'd go in there and like, you can get three for... $15 or whatever, they'd have deals, and I would just buy up shit that movies that I was like, I don't even know if I saw that or I didn't even think it was that great.
But for $5, I'm willing to give it a chance.
Yeah, yeah. Not envisioning streaming coming, and now everything's at your fingertips. So.
Nobody saw that shit coming.
No, even Blockbuster didn't because they had the, if you watch that documentary, Netflix went in and wanted to make a deal with them. And they were like,
they said no way.
You it. Fools.
Move along, peasants. Yeah.
They're like, everybody's going to come here and rent movies because it's fun.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I missed it. I do.
That was always a fun date night, right? You just, you know, grab your girl. You go to the movie store. You walk around. You've seen it in movies. You've seen like, you know, this is just a couple's thing. It's what people do. Like, that was a fun thing, man.
Or even like the little family trip there, you know, because, you know, you get the Raisinets.
Mm-hmm.
Like your sister grabs like some goobers. You're like, put that shit away. I don't like those.
Yeah.
She gets Raisinets like cotton candy. I don't know. Your dad's always getting like three, and then they're like, if you get one more,
look,
he's like, you got to watch this tonight.
Like you pick one and you're watching this tonight because I am paying fucking late fees.
I mean, like we talked about on previous shows, it was a commitment. You pay that money to rent something, you're stuck with it.
Hell yeah.
So,
some nights, I don't know, you end up with like five movies. You're like, holy hell.
Right.
But you get them in. It just happens.
Yeah.
It's a whole weekend.
You had time when you were young like that.
Yeah.
But this one I actually watched on Tubi TV. Mm. It was streaming with commercials on there, and I think HBO Max.
I saw it on HBO Max.
Yeah. And as well as Back to the Future was on actually Tubi as well. When this ended, it wanted to play Back to the Future. So, You can watch it on there.
I don't understand the selections on Tubi.
It's all over the place.
Yeah, you have like kids movies. Then you have, you know, like stuff like The Goonies. I guess it's family fun. Mm-hmm. Then they have like a whole thing of like foreign film.
Yeah.
And then they start touching on like this TVMA stuff that's like weirdly suggestive.
And then you'll find a gem like Blood Lake.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
our second movie we ever did, 1987 masterpiece that's on there, as well as the Shannon Doherty Blood Lake.
Yes.
20, both, what was that, like
13,
2013, 14, yeah. whatever. That I can't believe they even have that out to stream, but it's out there and actually made the Blood Lake we like look like, you know,
Peanut.
Yeah, yeah. Like her movie looked like it was a masterpiece, like, you know.
Yeah, but Tubi, for whoever doesn't have it, it's free streaming.
Yep.
It's great.
Tubi.
They have anything on there.
You know, we talk about them a lot, and I had just sent them an email about, like, hey, do a little partnership here with the podcast, so we'll see what happens. You never know.
Did you really send them something?
I did. Why not? We talk about Tubi all the time. Like, we might as well get a little something for it, a little shout-out or whatever. You know what I mean?
Come on, Tubi.
Yeah.
Pull it together, man.
Get with the times.
Like, how do you find that? You just, like, search for Tubi, and they have a customer
website.
Service? Or?
Yeah, contact us.
Oh, wow.
Send an email, and who knows?
Look what you can do today.
You know?
I had no clue.
Reach out and touch someone.
That's right. So I guess that's it for the cast, the synopsis, the budget, all that. I guess we'll just go through this movie and
let's walk it through.
Got some stuff to go through.
So, I mean, this movie is packed, you know, so packed full of just details and greatness. But that notwithstanding, our story begins at the Clatstop County Jail, where Jake Fratelli escapes and joins his brother Francis and his mother, Mama Fratelli, in a high-speed getaway.
Mm. You know what I loved about that scene is how they pretend they're pouring gas like all over the place, yet you're completely covered in gas. Yeah.
Well, I thought you were going to go to the very first scene that they show, the guy
hanging.
Well, if you
bar with the pipe.
Well, right before that, the guy leaving the prison cell, who's a extra, had our shades on, our sports shades.
Oh no, I didn't take notice of that.
Yeah, I'm like, there they are. That, you know, no wonder our dads and, you know, guys back in the 80s were sporting those. I mean, they were wearing them in movies and everything.
Yeah, they're called sports, so yeah. Of course.
If you go back and look through our Facebook pictures, I think our cover photo is the three of us with the sports 85 sports shades on. Mm-hmm. And I saw it right off the bat. I didn't notice that.
You had a good eye for that.
I look for that stuff.
No, it was just him like throwing gasoline everywhere.
So yeah. That thing when they with the gasoline and then they shoot the bullet, they shoot a gun at it.
Yeah, the gun to make the spark
to light
on freaking, what's that called?
Fire?
No. Macadam. It was a macadam.
Yeah, blacktop. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. I didn't know it sparked.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I mean, so any metal that's going to, you take a piece of metal at any point, you scrape it on the ground, you're going to get a spark. Now, this is okay. This is a piece of metal that's dry, flying at like 1,300 feet per second. Mm-hmm. So that's going to spark when it hits it.
The lead.
You ever see those nuts that hang off trucks? Like the dangle, you know, if they hit a low dip.
EDR was talking about those.
Yeah. That's right, at the comedy show. They'll spark sometimes, you know what I mean?
They crack on the ground.
Because people are dumb. I hate those goddamn things.
They are.
Anyway, that idea to shoot the bullet was, I mean, it's obviously, you know, made to look, it's special effects, but that idea came from Mama Fratelli's favorite son, Robert.
Robert
Dottie as Jake Fratelli. That was his idea. Like, hey, man, hey, Steven, or hey, Richard Donner, or Chris Columbus, wouldn't it be cool like if we did this? And they said, yeah, sure. Fuck it, let's go for it. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Cool.
That's cool.
The chase where the police just lose. They absolutely lose when this ORV, off-road vehicle.
Yeah.
But an ORV. Like, so nowadays, an ORV would be considered an SUV.
Yeah.
I'm guessing.
Because so it was a Cherokee. Utility, yeah.
SUV.
So that was just
a nice Cherokee, though. It was lifted. It had about a 2-inch lift. It had some knobbies.
It had everything it needed to get away on the sand.
Yeah. Mm. That was a cool part. Because if you're just watching it for the first time, which probably people aren't, but if you're seeing it, like their whole getaway plan, I think was pretty good.
Yeah. It was a race, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. There was a race going on.
When they were out on the beach.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's how they got away from the cops. Blended in.
A little fun fact on that Jeep Cherokee. So. Oh, I like cars. I'm a car guy. And I was talking to a guy I know that's a big, big time Jeep fan. And he was telling, and I looked it up and it is true. Those Jeep Cherokees, they have a four liter inline V6 engine in there that is like bulletproof. Those engines will run and run and run. Yep. They said it's actually one of the most reliable engines ever built. And they're sought after. Like, we much talk about these cars. If you can get like an old Cherokee like that in like decent shape, it'll rust out or, you know, other things will go wrong with it before that engine would give out. That was like a legendary engine.
Yeah, that was more of a, they came back with those. I remember in the 90s, they were like a Jeep Cherokee Sport, mm-hmm. which was the older Cherokee model that was. That was just a regular Cherokee at the time.
Yeah.
But Jeep came out because of the pop, that was popular. So they had the Jeep Cherokee Sport.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which are nice.
It's boxier.
It is
boxier.
You got
the Grand Cherokee was like the more luxury.
Rounded. Kinda,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're sharp vehicles.
Mm. Well, meanwhile, a group of kids who call themselves the Goonies gather one by one at the home of Mikey Walsh, a fellow Goonie. As their parents are facing imminent foreclosure on their homes in the Goondocks area of Astoria, this will be their last weekend together.
That's the Goonies, huh?
Ultimately, those boys make their way up to the attic of the Walsh home. So, yeah, the Goonies, members of the residents of the Goondocks.
The Goondocks.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just realized that when I watched it again. And they said, you know, they're going to destroy the Goondocks. And I was like, oh,
Goonies. That makes sense why they're the Goondocks. Yeah. There was one scene, too, in between there where they were driving by football practice. And the girl that we later learn will be like a love interest of the
Andy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That team practice looked horrible. I mean, if that's their starters out there playing on, you guys are watching like football going in the background, but it looked like guys that never like threw a football before, like, hey, go out and act like you're running patterns and doing stuff. It just looked really bad, you know?
Well, they had the cheerleaders were practicing on the field, like in the end zone when they were like running by.
It just looked like a cluster going on.
It was, it's just a Spielberg movie, man.
Right. Yeah. We're
it's not a sports movie.
We're much more used to a more structured where we come from the high school we were at. I mean, we had playbooks as thick as, you know, encyclopedia.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it was just more structured. That when I see high school football like that, I just call it out right away. I'm like, oh, it doesn't look too organized.
It's time to play, baby. Yeah. They're faking it.
They're faking it.
So, yeah, so by now all these guys are gathering. We get to meet the Goonies one by one by one. Mouth is the first one, right? Mm-hmm. I think, yeah, Mouth is the first one to show up. Chunk is the next one. But he's not allowed to get in the gate unless he does the truffle shuffle.
Truffle shuffle, yeah.
And then Data rides. Data's the next one to arrive.
Next door neighbor.
Yeah, he comes actually, he crashes through the front door on a zip line.
Mm-hmm. That's crazy.
Yeah, he lives next door and he just, but Data's always, I guess he's always like creating stuff. He's a pretty clever kid.
He's got some cool ass gadgets,
yes,
man.
Yes, we'll find out about those.
I got some fun facts about those too.
Three cool things I wrote down here. Just as I was watching the movie, things that caught my eye, I thought were pretty cool. Number one, like in the '80s, like it never now, but back then your microwave would be bigger than your TV.
Shit,
I'm sitting there watching a scene where Feldman's watching TV and there's a microwave in the background. It's like double the size of the TV they were watching. And then, in the bedroom when they were upstairs or maybe in the attic, the Mad magazine, you saw them.
The Mad magazine. Yep. Did you see the poster though?
It was a Prince, purple. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it wasn't the Purple Rain. It was Prince in the
Revolution.
Yeah. Prince in the Revolution. Okay.
And then the one other thing I noticed was Feldman's jacket. Did you see what kind of jacket that
members
was?
Only. It was
nice.
Members only. Members
covering his Prince t-shirt.
Yeah, they were marking out the Prince.
But I think that was like 84, 85 was I don't know what album Prince had out, but I mean he was pretty big then.
Oh, well, Purple Rain.
Purple Rain. Yeah.
I'm sorry, I just remembered. I'm sorry for cutting it off. Did you guys hear Tina Turner died today?
Yes. Oh,
I did not know that.
Yeah, my mom told me that.
Dude, Tina Turner.
Oh, shit.
She's dead as fried chicken.
No way.
Yeah.
From what?
From age, death. Causes, death. Well, she was like 80-something, wasn't she?
She was 137 years old.
Wow.
She like survived getting beat by a shoe.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Dang.
Backhand.
Rest in peace.
Yeah. Dude, I'm sorry. So I had to interject before I forgot that because I had to squirrel there for a second. But yes.
Thank you.
Meanwhile, we were talking about Prince.
Oh, yeah, Prince.
My mom actually called me to tell me that.
I didn't know anything about that.
Prince or Tina?
Tina.
I did not know that. That's crazy. But yeah, Prince, I think Purple Rain would have been out by now. 84 was Purple Rain, right?
Yep.
So.
What was, When Doves Cry, was that on that track? Was that on that album?
The only one I remember is, what was the one with him on the cover? And he had like a big fro.
Oh.
That was early.
Purple Rain.
No, before that one. Yeah, like
where you used to wear like not wear shirts and stuff.
He had some janky outfits, man.
No, it was what's the song? That's back when he was that was 70s though, wasn't it?
Oh yeah,
yeah.
But that one might have been like 79. I'm sure there was stuff in between.
Don't tell me.
I didn't really discover Prince until Purple Rain. I mean, I'm a fan, but now you're gonna make me look it up.
It's all right.
Yeah, this one here, Prince. That's the
oh Jesus.
But what was the main song?
God
what,
damn.
What were some of the songs on that?
He looks like Lionel Richie on.
So 1999. Yeah,
meth.
You're right.
Like Lionel, he's jaw jacked up.
Lionel Richie. 1982 was 1999. That's a little confusing. Little Red Corvette was on that.
Okay, there
that's
you
a
go.
Good jam. Yeah. So you had those, and then Purple Rain was 84.
All right. So Prince was pretty big.
Yeah, now absolutely Prince was big.
Prince was big.
So yeah, Prince poster, Prince t-shirt, members only jacket. I think we all had those probably at one time or another.
Yep. I had a navy. I had a navy blue one.
Yeah. So definitely some 80s shit going on there.
Up in the attic, they discover Mikey's father's collection of pirate artifacts and memorabilia, including a treasure map, a Spanish doubloon, and a newspaper article about a local explorer, Chester Copperpot. Initially dismissing any novelties of pirates and their treasure, all of the kids depart the attic. Mikey grabs the map and the doubloon on his way out. Mm. So these kids are just basically rummaging through their parents, all their old shit, right?
Yeah.
I mean, his dad was a curator or something at a museum.
That's right.
So he had all the stuff in the attic that he had to give back or whatever that he was doing for a collection. And that's where they discovered, like, oh, I didn't know you had all this cool stuff in your attic.
I don't know if any of you took notice, but that was an immediate reminder for me when Mouth cut out the mouth and put his tongue through the thing.
Oh, yeah.
That's
Clutch Cargo.
That's Clutch Cargo.
Oh, nice wet licorice kiss.
That's right.
Mikey.
Yeah.
Give me nice wet licorice.
Anytime
kiss.
I see that now, I think of Clutch Cargo.
Yeah.
From here on out.
God bless you, Clutch Cargo.
Yeah.
To all you fans out there, don't sleep on this. Find yourself Clutch Cargo on the YouTubes.
It's all over there.
1950s, 1960s animated show. Fantastic.
It is great.
But yeah, I forgot about that part. The nice wet licorice kiss. I think people use that up for a while. I mean, I think that still goes.
Oh, yeah.
That's still a quote used.
Absolutely.
One other scene I didn't think made sense is I was watching when they were outside and Chunk was trying to get in the yard. They had a sprinkler system going. I'm like, you're in Oregon. And it was raining.
It rains every other fucking day.
Yeah. And it even rained
summertime. Or no, they said it was the fall.
Yeah. But I'm just thinking it rains there a lot. It even rained like the next scene. It was raining outside or whatever. I'm like, you don't really need a sprinkler going. It seems like a waste.
Not many pools in Oregon or sprinkler systems. Yeah,
true.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe they need. I don't know. I just thought it was odd. I was looking. I'm like, it looks overcast all the time. I'm sure they get a ton of rain and precipitation in the Northwest. I don't know.
So
what do I know?
I was since you're talking about that outside episode or that outside scene.
Mm-hmm.
I certainly fancy like what the kids had done to create the mechanism that opened the gate.
Right.
So that's considered a Rube Goldberg device,
mm-hmm.
where you create this elaborate system of things that have to happen in order to just perform the most simple tasks.
I think we talked about that on one of our, I think that was another movie that we had though. And I think you brought that up. I forget what movie
it was. Yeah, I do remember hearing about that.
But yeah.
So like the game Mousetrap, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Takes you forever to set it up. That is essentially one big ass Rube Goldberg device.
Wasn't it in like Pee-wee's movie too?
Yes.
To make toast or something like
That's
that.
That's correct. Just to make toast. So
eggs and toast.
I loved seeing that. And I mean, obviously I'd seen this, years ago, but seeing it again reminded me, like, I loved doing shit like that when I was a kid.
Building stuff like that.
Making the craziest fucking things just to perform the most simple things.
Those were a lot of the booty traps were a lot of like Rube Goldberg type stuff.
Absolutely.
Like all this. It's all this stuff elaborate. Just to have like
just drop
something.
A boulder.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Come on.
Makes no sense.
Cool.
One-eyed Willie.
Well, with the foreclosure of their homes looming, the Goonies hatch a plan to find the treasure. Making their way to a state park, they use the map to match up to their location with Haystack Rock, leading them in the right direction. Now, this is where, so they left the house. They ran out of the house, but Bran's there. He has to, he's babysitting these kids.
Yeah.
So they sneak attack and they wrap his.
What is that?
Terrible fucking weight.
Oh, the springs.
Yeah.
Oh.
They wrap him up in the sofa. Mouth flattens his bike tires.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He ends up taking it. So I didn't know this until I was going through the data on this. Speaking of data.
Right.
That was that kid he took the bike from
the
that girl.
The little
Give
girl.
Me back my bike. That's Data's sister.
In real life?
No, in the movie.
Oh, in the movie.
That's
she a little Asian
sister.
Kid?
I
didn't notice that.
Give me back my bike. Give me back my bike.
I didn't even notice that.
No.
That was their neighbor, so she's probably out. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't understand how he rode that bike anyway. That didn't make sense.
Well, I mean, this is also, so now it's, at the, yeah, so he eventually gets out and gets that girl's bike and he drives away or rides away, but this is now where he comes up on Troy.
Yes.
So Troy's driving around messing with his, with the rear view. looking at the...
Yeah, saying, she said he was trying to look down my shirt. No, he was looking at the thigh pants. Action. Yeah.
Looking up the panties and stuff.
He was. That's when Brandt gets stuck on the... Troy holds his arm, and then he lets him go, and goes flying off into the distance.
Yeah.
So you're right. That's where we're introduced to Troy, Andy, and Steph.
Troy, Andy, and Steph is correctamundo.
I like that visor he had on that country club. Astoria Country Club.
I wonder if we can score one of them.
Yeah, much like some of these other movies. I mean, maybe they have stuff from the Goonies is huge. So I'd be shocked.
There'll be an Astoria Country Club hat out there.
We've talked about this before. So back then, you could dress a character to look like a particular genre of character, right?
Right.
So you put somebody in a Letterman jacket, right? So they're a jock.
Jock, yeah.
You put somebody in glasses and a pocket protector. Yeah. They're a nerd.
Right.
Does that still exist? Can you still do that?
I don't know.
I'm not saying for PC shit. I'm just saying.
You're saying for a kid in school, if you would dress somebody up in funky glasses and a pocket protector and or whatever, they'd be like, oh, that kid's a nerd.
I feel like there's a lot of crossover.
Yeah, there's a lot of blending.
Actually, there was a talk about that on the Joe Rogan podcast. I think the guy's Jelly Roll. I don't even know the guy's music. It was an interesting interview, but he was talking about how because let's face it, in high school, music would kind of influence your look and how you dress. And it had a big, not to say like jocks and nerds and all that stuff, but like how you would dress. If you wore a Metallica shirt, he's a
metalhead.
You know what I mean? Or if you dress that part. But he was saying how when streaming music came in and people could access all this different music, there's so much crossover. So you'll see rap guys wearing Nirvana shirts and what I mean? Vice versa. Oh, yeah,
like how GNR shirt, like all the 80s metal bands or hair metal bands became popular t-shirts for everybody.
But then you do have these kids that this one guy goes around and calls them out. Like they'll be wearing a Nirvana shirt or something. They'll go, hey, tell me your favorite Nirvana song. And they don't even know one, or they know one song or whatever. But I feel
thought that was the Hanson brothers.
Yeah. You could do that on the shirt. They did that with they put the Hanson brothers in Nirvana. But I feel like sometimes now, I don't even really know how you dress like a nerd anymore. And nerds are kind of cool now. That's the other thing.
Yeah. They know how to hack into shit. They know how to steal money. Mm-hmm. They know how to buy Bitcoin or do whatever the hell they do.
And jocks, I don't even know if they wear Letterman jackets anymore.
No, I don't think Letterman jackets are. They might be a thing. I don't see any anymore.
No, I mean, I think when we were in high school, I had.
Like the leather sleeves.
I had a jacket. My dad always, why don't you wear that? I'm like, no, I'm not wearing that. You know what I mean?
This seems weird.
Your dad had that one leather UNLV jacket, though. That thing was dope.
Well, I had a bunch of that. Was in style.
That was nice.
Turtleneck and chain.
Yeah.
Had the
white turtleneck, gold chains.
You get the game hat. Remember the game?
Oh, the game with the circular teams.
Yep. And the hot one was the Cox. If you get South Carolina, the game Cox, they would say Cox. Everybody wanted that. But I think nowadays, you can't really. You can look at some guy and be like, he must be a nerd. Right. Here he's a jock. Well, or vice versa.
But because there's so much blending and crossover, it's hard. It's hard to stereotype at this point.
You can't. Yeah. You can't say he's a rocker. Or he's
But it's funny. And where we went to high school, we all had to dress pretty much the same. You had to wear, tie, shirt. So you really nobody had individuality.
No, you could try.
I'm saying you could have little things like with your haircut, maybe what you had to keep your hair.
So nowadays McDevitt has uniforms, right?
Mm-hmm.
So back in our day, it wasn't uniforms. It was instead dress code.
Dress code. Yeah.
Right.
So we had button down shirt, tie, pants, slacks, pants, whatever.
And you had to have your haircut for boys to a certain length.
So even with those four elements between shoes, pants, shirt, and tie, you can do a lot of shit.
Oh, hell yeah.
You really can.
I know. I thought we all looked the same.
I used to take the braided belt and make it long. Dangle.
That was
kind of like a statement. I don't know. You would do different things, like Zap's saying. You could change different things.
Pants were really big. It was right before the JNCO jeans were coming out.
Yeah.
It was right before that. So, I mean, I just remember buying really big clothes.
Yeah. Bugle Boys. Ooh. That was actually before that. That was the 80s.
That was, yeah.
But I remember.
You would get run.
If you wore Bugle Boys in high school.
So we went 90 to 94.
Varney.
We would have been run if you show up in Bugle Boys.
Bugle Boys. Were they the one you'd flip up and there'd be a design underneath? Because remember, you'd tight roll them.
You would make the peg leg,
Was the fold over and the two cuffs.
But there was a design under there.
Yeah. It had the what's that cross color type? Not the cross colors.
That's another one.
Yeah, that was another. Argyle. It was
Argyle.
Yeah, it was an Argyle.
It was underneath.
Yeah.
I was actually talking to Mississippi Neil. We might go together. He's going to invest, I think. We're going to bring back Genera Hypercolor. Remember them shirts?
Genera. Oh, yeah. You touch it with your handprint.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
I was like, man, he's like, yeah, you do that. He's like, I'll be in on that. Yeah. We were talking about, because he remembers it too. But yeah, there was a lot of fashion back then that, you know.
But it was funny though. Speaking of that, I think it was the one time I hung out with you and I think we're like 15 or 16. 16 because somebody was driving. And we were going to Hot Now, I think, after one of the practices. And it was with, I think, Santana, Hawker, you, maybe Alan, and me. We were in the back or whatever. And I think Hawker had...
Are you pointing at me when you say you?
You. Okay. Yeah, it was okay. You. And I don't know. Somebody put in Ozzy.
Okay.
And it was Crazy Train or whatever, like Randy Rhoads. Yeah. And I started singing along, and Santana was like, how do you know this song, Nas?
Yeah. They thought you were just like all rap through and through.
Yeah, yeah. But I was like, no, dude, I love Ozzy. I was like, Randy Rhoads. And they're like, oh, you know Randy, cool. They're like, all right, you're all right. Yeah. Like one of those things like that. Like, but all right. Yeah, because it's like kind of hard to like know, you know what I mean? Just because you like looked or dressed a certain way. Well, because we all kind of looked the same doesn't mean that.
If they look at you, they would think you're either into rap or mariachi.
Yeah, well, yeah, 110%. That's what I had. I had like a Los Lobos t-shirt.
Sure.
Well, back then, like I said, like you were, it wasn't as easy to get music. So if you were tied into like a genre and hung out with a group, you're just passing tapes or CDs around. It wasn't like I could say, text you and be like, check this band out. And then boom, all of a sudden you're a fan.
But I think a lot of my like, no, it's just like, no, just like listening to. Like MTV, you got so many different things. Like you could be into so many different types of music. And just because you like looked a certain way doesn't mean that you only liked one thing.
No.
I thought that was cool for our generation.
Yeah.
MTV was a good thing.
I'm sorry. I just got through this one because you mentioned like Hawk or Alan, Hawk or Doc.
Yeah.
There was a point at which I know the four of us at least, and it could have included somebody more. Could have been, Mark might have been there too.
Uh-huh.
So it was after 91. It was, or shortly thereafter, the Black Album came out.
Metallica.
Yeah. So you would sing the lyrics, and on purpose you would say Enter Sandman, and man, so you know, exit like light,
enter night, Enter Sandman.
Yeah. So he would substitute Sandman on purpose, knowing full well that Alan or Hawk were just going to start wailing on him, like that's not the lyrics, man. Ew. That's not the lyrics. All right. We're way to fuck off track.
That's all right.
All right. So with the treasure hunt on, the boys find an abandoned restaurant and conclude that there's a significance to it. After a few run-ins with the Fratellis there, and now accompanied by Brand and two female friends of his, Andy and Steph, they find a hidden drain grate covering a passageway built into a fireplace in the basement. All but Chunk climb down into the secret passage to get away from the Fratellis. Chunk manages to escape through a small basement window. So there's a shit ton of stuff that just happened through all of that, right?
Oh, yeah.
So they're outside scoping out the place. They see, and like Chunk's walking around, and he finds the ORV, the Jeep Cherokee. Right.
Bullet holes,
yeah.
I still say that to this day.
ORV.
Bullet holes.
Bullet holes.
Yeah.
And they get that dirty water. You get there, and she's like, you guys want water? Want something to drink? They bring out.
I like a mouse character there, too. She's like, what do you want? Something to eat? And he's like, it's not the place you want to eat. He's like, I want the Villa Scalapine.
Yeah, he's talking all Italian and shit.
Grabs his mouth. We only serve tongue.
Yeah.
Yeah, and she even the switchblade on that. That's not, correct. It wasn't a switchblade. Is that a switch? No, that's the up and down's different than the switch.
That was a switchblade.
No, it went like up and down. It was like, whoop, whoop.
That's a switchblade.
Is it?
The same thing?
I thought the switch was like a switch.
No. Oh, you're saying, I see what you're saying. It flipped out versus.
Yeah, this one up and down. Like a switchblade is from like.
Retractable or
yeah,
something.
Like I don't know what they're called exactly. I don't know the knife term.
Was retractable. I don't. Maybe it could be interchangeably used between the flip up and the
switch. The switch I always thought was a switchblade because it was like a switch, like up, on and off, and the retract. I don't know. I don't know what it is.
So this knife I always carry, the Kershaw Chive, is a power assist. So it looks like it's a switch.
That would be a switch,
but it's
spring loaded.
It's yeah. There's a spring to it.
Oh yeah, wow,
that's very nice.
Yeah, look, comment. Look, I might count money, but it's really look. You open envelopes. You always need to pick something or whatever. But
something underneath your nail.
Yeah, it's always something, man.
That's a cool little
cutting twine or cutting people.
It's a cool little thing, man.
Somebody wants a step.
Yeah, man. What's up?
You know what I mean.
I will cut you with my 2-inch.
Leave him alone. It's a switchblade.
Yeah.
And it's, Zapstar stance like.
I'm not going to get very far with a 2-inch blade.
No.
So let's see what else happened in this. So we meet the Fratellis.
Yeah.
Like we really get to know more about them. I should say, because the kids, you know, are now interacting with these guys, walking around and all of that shit. The Fratellis ended up leaving and coming back, right? So they left, and the boys went in and basically broke into the restaurant.
Yeah, they met the girl. The girl there outside. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Let's see what else. I mean, there's the whole thing downstairs. Like, so there's ice cream. This is also where Chunk, you know, finds the dead guy.
That's right.
In the freezer.
Yeah, they open that up and he falls out.
I smell ice cream. Yeah. Which is impossible.
Yes, but that's funny though.
Of course. Of course.
We just had a dead guy in the freezer. On the true crime.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
This is some Memento shit right here, but for the listeners, they'll know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm. All right. Oh, a $50 bill. $50 bill.
Yeah.
This is steak.
No, it's not. $50 bill.
Yeah. All right. So now let's see. They've all gone out. They've all gone underground. Mm-hmm. Chunk escaped out the window. The Goonies, Brand, Andy, and Steph make their way through a series of underground tunnels and caverns, bursting water pipes, discovering the skeleton of Chester Copperpot, and activating a falling boulder booby trap along the way.
If Sean Astin, his character kind of bothered me through this whole thing. He was always like, oh, this is One Eye Willie. We're coming, One Eye Willie.
Yeah, he was very annoying.
Yeah.
I remember even as a kid, like, him getting under my skin.
Yeah, like, somebody just sort of smacked him. Like, where was his big brother? Like, shut up. Everything was,
because he was so impassioned.
Yeah. Everything was One Eye Willie, or we're coming for you, One Eye Willie. Or I know there's something under here. One Eye Willie.
I never
said it like 30 times.
Thought about the One Eye Willie and the penis reference type shit. Mm. Like, as the, you know, you say, pull out your One Eye Willie.
I hear they call you Sweet Dick Willie.
Yeah.
You heard that, did you?
Was that in the Goonies?
No, that was from.
Oh.
I was
like, what?
That was from Friday After Next.
What part are you?
I'm just thinking about like the Goonies as a kid when I'm watching it. Now, as an adult, since then, I've heard One Eyed Willie. I think it, like, somebody says, I got to pull out a One Eye Willie. They're talking about your junk.
I've never heard it referenced.
Your Johnson. Willie.
Am I nuts on that? Have you heard that?
I've absolutely heard that.
Yeah, you're One-Eyed Willie? You never heard
One-Eyed Willie, no. Oh. Must be a... We all grew up in the same place.
Like, do you piss in like three directions?
Yeah,
at least the morning after.
When it splits and streams?
Man.
It's a long night of...
Why is it all stuck together?
Long night of sexy.
Police. Yeah. Those were the days.
Oh, stream.
Tell you one, don't ever put a black light in your bathroom.
It's all over the place.
Well, they say it's from flushing, like the kids or whatever. Kids don't close the toilet seat when they flush it. So they say the germs go everywhere because the power of the flush, it spits stuff everywhere up in the air.
I don't know about that.
Oh, the aerosol. Yeah. Maybe. Like the aerosols and stuff?
No, just the flushing motion. Mm. So it's like.
I can tell you what does spit stuff everywhere. Fucking hand dryers, like air dryers.
Oh, yeah.
People love those Dyson hand dryers.
That's nasty.
Oh, because it saves on paper towels and all. Bullshit. Okay, fine. Go ahead. Get your airborne diseases and shit with your
You can't even keep your hands like inside. They're just touching everything.
How about those ones like old school where it was just rotating like fabric? Yep. You just keep pulling it. Yep. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
And you would wash it and go around, come back out again and shit.
Dude, I'd love finding those in like the dingiest gas station.
Nasty,
dingiest gas station bathrooms and shit like that. Like where you had to get the key and go outside and shit.
Right. Tiger hubcap.
The kids, they still have those these days with they put bricks in the cinder blocks.
Oh, well, that maybe, but they don't have them reusable. Well, you're probably going to find out in the future that's more sanitary. Well, shit, something, you know what I'm saying?
We used to have that in high school. Remember
Absolutely.
Yeah, the keys for the bathroom were on like big sticks and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're right.
Well, hall passes were. Oh, no. You're right. The bathroom. Yeah, you're right.
It was like a stick,
a nightstick.
Yeah, with like a chain.
It was like a PVC pipe or some shit.
Yeah. Some shit.
Yeah. All right, let's see. Oh, I'm sorry. So while these guys are going through their boulder ways and they find Chester Copperpot's dead ass.
Yeah.
And they're almost getting hit by boulders falling from the ceiling. Meanwhile, Chunk he ran away. And he's, you know, trying to thumb a ride or thumb for some help. And who ends up picking him up but the fucking Fratellis, the people that he ran away from.
Yeah, after he tells them all about, like, he's like, my friends, the Quat, but he's real mean people, the Fratellis.
Yeah.
And then
he rolls the window down.
But that guy, he's an actual opera singer. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Robert Davi?
Davi, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Really?
Yes. Yeah. He is an opera singer.
Huh.
That's a fun fact.
I did not know that.
He's like, I don't know. I don't speak Italian. He's singing Italian.
It's close enough.
That is a good. That is a good track, though. As he's singing, he does a good job.
He does, yeah.
He's a professional.
Yeah,
of course.
Back in the caverns, The Goonies and friends make their way to and through the bottom of a wishing well and discover a hidden tunnel at the bottom of a pit, almost that a pit that almost claims Data's life.
Oh, except for the... I didn't know what he said there forever, but I watched it with the words on the bottom.
So, yeah. Let me do this really quick. Meanwhile, the Fratellis are hot on their trail as they, too, are now on the hunt for the treasure. Chunk has since been tied up in a room with a freakishly deformed man. Mm. All right. So, yeah. So, as I was reading through this, I always thought it was pinchers of power.
Oh, okay. I thought it was pinchers of pale.
No. He says either pinchers of power or some call it pinchers of peril.
That's what it was. The pinchers of peril.
Yeah, peril.
But I always thought, like, because I was
pinchers of power, you know, because they're powerful.
Right.
I never knew it was pinchers. I always thought he said pinchers of pale. I'm pinchers of pale. I was like, pinchers of pale. That's what I thought he said.
Couldn't make it out.
I mean, they totally are, again, they obviously stereotype Data. He's just got the accent.
Right.
And they absolutely played on that.
Was he the one that was in Indiana Jones?
Correct.
Same kid?
Yes.
He's Short Round.
Yep. Short Round.
Dr. Jones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's him. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So by now, so again, they walk through the wishing well. Mm-hmm. This is where, you know, Troy and his friends are up there, and she sends up his jacket that she had been with. Andy sends up her jacket. And
yeah, like, hey, Troy, did you make it with Andy yet?
You goony.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you make it with Andy? And he's like, yeah, not yet. I'll make a wish. Not yet. I'm getting there.
She's down there.
Yeah. After a quick bathroom break, and with the Fratellis now closer than ever behind them, the Goonies and friends make short work of a bone organ puzzle and water slide their way into a large lagoon in a cavern where One-Eyed Willie's ship has been resting for hundreds of years.
Mm.
They said the cast, they knew nothing about that ship.
They wanted that surprise.
When they came out of the, well, it looked like a bunch of stunt people coming out of there. I don't know when they showed them in.
Oh, for real?
Did you see, like, it looked like these grown men?
I didn't notice.
Yeah, it was horrible.
So they water slide into the lagoon.
Yes.
You're saying it's the grown men that come out of the water?
No. They're water sliding into the lagoon.
Oh.
But these people coming off the water slider,
gotcha.
You can tell they are grown ass men.
Like adults.
Yeah. Right. Like the one, yeah, like these characters, like, who the hell's that dude?
He's got a wig
like,
on.
Like, why is these dudes popping out? I thought they were kids.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's absolutely great.
But if you watch that again, if you do watch it, if you go back to watch Goonies, look at that part again. You'd be like, there's dudes with beards popping out. Like, come on.
I wonder if that set was the one, like one of the sets that they built, like in California, like in the back lots and stuff with the boat and all that.
Yeah.
Or if they actually filmed
I think that's the one that they did build that they flew back for. Because the organ, they just used the scenery.
Right, right.
Now, Matt, I had read, I think, similar to what you had read. And I think you were going to get to it eventually. That so they kept this boat from the kids, and because they wanted to get their reaction when they first saw it. Well, ultimately, I think Brand fucked it up because he's holy shit. So in real life for the scene, he like his first reaction to see it was holy shit.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, they cut that out.
Oh,
but they say shit
however many times.
I want to say it at least a dozen times, dozen and a half times in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
I think 19 actually is the real number.
Did you see now on TV, they're putting like the ratings for like something like this would be like 7+.
No, I didn't notice that. For Instead of like, Goonies?
Yeah, for Goonies. Also for Howard the Duck. You guys remember that?
Yes.
Yeah. That's 7+.
All right. Kids grow up faster. Chris, yeah. Kids grow up hard and young now, man.
But I'm just saying there's a lot of like scenes in there that you don't want. I guess you're 7 years. I don't know. I guess kids, I mean, you learn more on the bus than parents want to say.
Get on the bus.
Yeah.
I would think it'd be the other way around it. That nowadays they're more, you know, cautious.
No, it's just Disney movies.
Yeah. Well, I mean, just movies in general. I think they have all these different ratings, you know, PG-13. Yeah. Well, they have PG-13 been around for a while, but I don't know. I feel like back in the 80s, they had, like, we talk about Ghostbusters. That was rated PG, like parental guidance, and they say shit and add bad words and stuff. And
right. Well, no, there were some PG movies when we were growing up that had boobs in them.
Yeah, we talked about that, but I don't remember which one.
There were some. What was Ghost rated R?
Was there boobs in that?
Is that PG?
Was there boobs in that?
I believe so, wasn't there?
I don't know.
Or was it just sexual references?
Probably just when they were, you're thinking when they're stroking the clay.
Stroking the clay.
So, yeah. Okay, what was the rating for Fast Times at Ridgemont High?
That was rated R for sure, yeah. Because okay. There was definitely boobs in that.
100%.
Oh, Jaws. Jaws is PG. It had boobs in it. Boobs and butt. When the girl goes skinny dipping?
In the very beginning.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That has boobs and butt.
That's PG. Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm.
But that was at night. Was it like side boob or did you see nips?
No, there was there was full boobage.
How about 16 Candles? Was that PG?
PG.
And there was boobs in that?
Mm-hmm. That's true.
That's right.
That's absolutely
the shower scene in the beginning.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, there's a lot in the 80s that you figure, just as long as your mom or dad's there to tell you, you know, hey, there's a nice set right there or whatever. Yeah. It was cool.
I mean, in some ways you think about, like, you try to shield them from so much. They're going to find out about stuff anyhow. You might as well, like, talk to them about
it. But is the human body bad? Like, you don't shield kids from
it. That's the thing. You make it, you demonize it. That's why I think, like, with alcohol, like, you look at these foreign exchange students that would come over and they drink wine with dinner. And over here, we demonize it. Like, you can't drink till you're 21. Well, if you don't make it like it's forbidden, maybe they won't do it. Maybe they don't want to abuse it. Yeah.
But that's why kids, Americans are so stupid. They make the drinking age 21. They know every time their kid goes to a party in high school. Right. That they're drinking.
Getting real fucked up.
Yeah, but if you just be like, you know, be cool about it, be open about it, be like, hey, if you're drinking tonight, call me. We'll come pick you up.
Right.
Like, we didn't have that shit when we were kids. We were afraid to tell our parents stuff.
We also didn't have Uber and a bunch of things that would save you, you know what I mean, and stuff. I don't know.
Even though I had the keg in my basement, my dad would just think it was him.
He's like, man, I drank a lot last night.
You mess up, like, the bar table a little bit, and you'd be like, oh, God damn, I'll just come down and clean it up.
You'd put the mark on the alcohol bottles and refill it with water, like, water it down and stuff. You know, there are all kind of ways.
Yeah, ways around everything. Mm.
Well, after searching through One-Eyed Willie's ship, they ultimately find his vast treasure. And they also find themselves caught by the Fratellis. But worry not. The Goonies and friends eventually escape off of the ship with a little help from Sloth and Chunk, who heroically arrive and save their lives.
Mm. Hey, you guys.
Yep. Yeah.
He does the Errol Flynn knife slide down the old
He was watching the Errol Flynn movie in his little room there.
Yep, yep, yep.
Oh, in the beginning.
Yeah, in the beginning.
Mm. The Mama Fratelli makes the one, Andy walk the plank. Mm. So she walks the plank and then Bran jumps in after to save. Yeah. And there is a deleted scene from the movie this part.
Oh.
That I didn't know about until, like, years later. Like, I would say, honestly, till maybe 4 or 5 years ago. I had no idea it existed.
I know it's in the fun facts, but refresh my memory.
The octopus.
Yeah.
Well, Data refers to it sometime in the movie, but there was no octopus scene.
He ends up, that's right, at the very end of the movie, he refers to it, but they had deleted that whole scene completely.
I know I read it in the fun facts, but I forgot about that. Like, I don't remember what it was.
So is there a deleted scene version of this? Right there.
The deleted octopus scene is on that DVD.
It's like they wrap something up or when they walk the plank, right?
So the octopus ultimately, so these kids are all jumping in and trying to escape, or they're pushed in some way, shape, or form. The scene with the octopus is actually, it was intended to attack Steph and Mouth in the lagoon where the ship is, where Willie's ship is. This is probably why the scene was deleted. A quick-thinking Data swims down and plants a cassette player into the octopus's mouth. The octopus swallows the device and break dances.
Oh, wow. Ooh.
Break dances away to the tune of Goon Squad's Eight Arms to Hold You.
Oh, that'd be cool to see.
I don't know.
Oh.
But that's on your DVD?
It's on. Hang on. Go ahead. Look for it. It's in the special chompies.
I'll pop it on. I'd like to see that. Yeah. That'd be interesting.
It's like, doo, 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 doo.
Yeah, so that it seemed ultimately got cut because it was just deep, too cheesy. Just too cheesy. I mean, there's cheese, but that's just too much cheese.
It's over the top. Yeah.
But no, this movie wasn't really that cheesy. I mean, it was, as a kid watching, like, it's something I'd be like, this shit could really happen.
Well, of course.
Yeah, there's no cheese behind that.
Mm-hmm. This was
they just thought it was,
a breakdancing octopus is just too much. Like, there's a limit.
Like, Sloth could be real.
Yeah.
I see that.
True.
But the breakdancing octopus, no way.
Right.
Well, meanwhile, the Fratellis loot the ship and trigger Willie's final booby trap, rocks falling from the ceiling all around them in the cavern. An accidental use of dynamite helps the Goonies escape, while Sloth and the other Fratellis remain trapped inside.
Mm. Talking about cheesing it or bad, like, you ever hear that Kids Bop? You know, they do the, like, kids, they redo like songs. So I saw this one, I have to show you guys when we're done. It was like on Instagram or TikTok Reels or one of them. It's like this this is a white kid doing Sorry, Miss Jackson. And he's saying, it's cringeworthy, dude. It's so bad. It's
God.
Looking at it, it's like, who approved that or even thought it was good?
Wait. The same lyrics?
Yeah.
Why
would a kid be singing that kind of song?
Yeah, and the girl, little girl's jumping out the window, and he's like, you say it's puppy love. We say, you know, that one.
Yeah.
We say it's real. It's this like little like white,
feel this
like,
way
this little ever. White kid singing, and the mom is up there yelling at the daughter, and she jumps out there. Like they have a video that goes with it. Most cringeworthy shit I've ever
That's
seen.
That's fucking terrible.
Yeah, but you got to hear the audio. This kid rapping and stuff. You
know, I guess, I'm trying to figure out what adult approved that and said that's okay for a kid.
For kids bop.
Yeah.
Maybe it wasn't kids. Maybe they made it up, but I don't know. It looked legit. I'll have to check it out. I'll have to make sure.
That's real fucked up.
Yeah.
Kids bop, Miss Jackson.
Yeah.
He said, this is my house. I disconnected the cables and turned the lights out.
How is a kid fucking... all right, whatever, man. Today that I'm glad I don't have fucking kids, man.
That's it.
Like,
that's
I would be he
was
afraid.
Saying that she has this baby and the mom don't like him because of the baby.
Yeah. Wow.
That's a very bad message to be putting out to kids. All right.
Everybody out there, kids bop.
All right. So after a break, we just watched that and yeah.
I think everybody should see this video. Yeah,
look it up. Kids bop, Miss Jackson.
Dear God, that was awful. Mm-hmm. All right. Now the next morning, the Goonies and friends make their way to the beach and are rescued by the police and reunited with their families. And just as Mikey and Bran's father is about to sign over the deed to his house, a sizable handful of jewels are found in Mikey's marble bag. All foreclosures are off. The Fratellis are now in police custody. And Sloth has been invited to be a member of Chunk's family.
Oh. Mm.
As everyone is celebrating and exchanging the stories of their adventures, Willie's ship is seen by all, sailing off on its own into the horizon.
Nice.
That was a cool ending scene.
It was.
I like that.
On the beach and all
Rosalita
that.
Was the hero.
Ay Dios mio.
On the marbles.
Ay Dios mio.
And then the sun, ship. Right? And the sun setting on the beach there. It was very lovely. Beautiful.
So I wonder if that was special effects, the boat, or if that was the real boat. So maybe they did film it there. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. I mean, so that boat, right? So that, as you imagine, that boat was entirely real.
Right.
They built that just for the, from beginning to end, they built that just for the movie. All the shots were filmed in the ship. So any shots associated with that boat or when they're on that boat, they are on that boat.
Right.
It's not like a set. I mean, it was on that boat. After that film, that boat was actually offered to anyone who would take it. Nobody wanted it.
Get the hell out of here.
That's what I can't believe. None of the people on set or anybody in general.
But nobody wanted that. No, I'm sorry. No, it is in general. Anywhere. Nobody wanted the whole fucking boat.
Unreal.
So the ship was scrapped. It was 105 feet long, and it took 2.5 months to construct. Some of the ship's rigging was recycled for the Pirates of the Caribbean ship at Disneyland.
The Disney,
oh, cool.
Yeah. Which was being renovated at the time. But yeah, otherwise, it's in the fucking shityard.
Yeah, you imagine got to be worth something, like, for free? And just for take free. It? But I guess you got to... owning a boat's not cheap.
It's not cheap. Yeah, no. That's a lot of...
From what I've heard, a boat is a hole you throw water in.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not... our boy L.A. Ron, he's in the midst of buying a boat, and he was talking about all the costs, like, to store it and the... And the fuel and everything else, like, it's not cheap, and it's definitely, you know.
Would you say if it flies, floats, or fucks?
Yeah, rent it. As a pit bull says that. Flies, floats, or fucks, rent it.
Nice. Classy.
Yeah.
So, I guess we're now moved into the...
Yeah, you didn't bring your accordion.
Gotta bring the accordion, man. Fun facts. All right. Fun facts. We talked about the octopus, the pirate ship.
Ooh.
Mouth could have been, and we talked about him earlier, Corey Haim.
Oh, yeah, he was in Feldman. Oh.
So he and Feldman auditioned for the role, and while those two later on to become, you know, best buddies.
Yeah, booze and buddies.
They met for the first time auditioning for this movie.
Set. Yep. On the set it is.
Yep.
So, Sean Astin's his whole audition tape can be viewed online on YouTube.
No shit.
Yes.
Huh.
Yeah. I just Sean Astin had a pretty good career, went on to do some fine things.
He did.
Yeah, Feldman had a great teenage career.
Yeah.
He's a jackass now.
Yeah. Josh Brolin.
Yeah.
Very well for himself.
But his dad was a stud back in the day.
There's that.
Yeah.
James
Brolin.
What do you got? Fun fact.
So like you were saying earlier, like you said about Feldman, it was $40,000 that he got paid for 6 months. To work on the film. That was from a 2020 podcast he was on. He said that. So doesn't seem like much even back then.
I don't know, man. 40 large for 6 months worth of work, and you're a kid.
True, yeah.
And this is 85.
You're eating all you want. You're getting, like, it's like a big sleepover with your friends, pretty much.
All you can eat, Remember that? Oh. All you can eat. Yeah, it's Fat Boys. Mm. Remember that song?
I know the Fat Boys are back, and you know they can never be whacked.
I remember the twist.
Yeah, that was on then Wipeout. They did the
and they did Wipeout. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah. All you can eat
and
was
the
another
human
jams.
Beatbox.
Yeah, that was one of the guys.
Not to be confused with Rozelle, the beatbox champion of all time.
I don't know Rozelle.
Rozelle.
Look up Rozelle, R-A-H-Z-E-L.
He sounds like a lost member of Wu-Tang.
Mm. Rozelle, yeah. Like,
he can talk while he beatboxes.
Is it Rozelle, like the something, or just Rozelle?
His name is Rozelle.
Okay.
I have to look that up.
Look him up.
They say Jeff Cohen, who played Chunk, had chicken pox when he was doing this movie. And he didn't say anything. Instead of like losing, you know, or them kicking him out, or him not having to do it, he went on. They said you can see it when he does a truffle shuffle. He has chicken pox all over his belly.
So you're saying like he showed up because he didn't want to lose the role?
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
So he didn't say anything because he only had it like all over his stomach.
Good for him.
So
he's like, and shit. Like,
screw that.
That's so funny.
I'm acting.
More than 900,000 gallons used in this during the filming of this movie.
Of water.
Yeah.
Wow. Holy shit. We were talking earlier about. Rube Goldberg stuff and Data's inventions.
Mm-hmm.
So he was the gadget guy, right?
Right.
So, and I loved being that too. Like having not even seen this movie as a kid, I did the same shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like I would cut out earmuffs like you would wear in the winter. I'd cut out circles in them. And then you remember the old headphones you would get like when you would buy a Walkman. It was
a little rinky dinky one. Yeah,
with the fur,
the foam on it.
The really thin one. Yeah, they had the foam.
Mm-hmm.
So I would cut out like fucking earmuffs in the winter.
Mm-hmm.
That one would wear in the winter, and put the earphones in there so I could have warm ears while listening to fucking music.
Damn,
but just little, little shit.
You could have sold that.
Yeah, if you would have like
John Wanamaker,
Etsy
JC
back
Penny.
Then or something, on them websites, you could sell it.
Once took a super soaker. Mm-hmm. No, I'm sorry, it wasn't a super soaker. It was one of the. It was a battery operated. I forget who made a battery operated squirt gun. And I somehow had fashioned a way to put like a lighter at the end of it. I filled it up with gasoline. So, but the problem was it sucked.
Flamethrower?
Yeah, to try to make a flamethrower. But the problem was like I couldn't keep the thing lit. This is so I watched like Aliens, right, or something.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
They had flamethrowers, and it was like, wow, man, I want to make a fucking flamethrower. So I got this
Aquanet
water gun.
Lighter.
Well, you could, but I'm saying so I had this gun, and I somehow affixed a lighter to the end of it. But the problem with it is that you had to hold the lighter in because I didn't have any other means to create light or create a flame.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like I had, you know, some kind of butane or something else that could run and perpetually do this thing. I'm not going to fashion a candle at the end of it so it just sits there.
Yeah.
So it didn't work all that well.
Yeah. Hmm.
But, well, oh well.
Inventor. You know,
so speaking of not working well, so Data's inventions that we saw in the movie included the suction cup belt, the pinchers of power. Some may have interpreted that as pinchers of peril. I think it's pinchers of power.
Mm-hmm.
Bully blinders, which he uses to try to blind the Fratellis when they're coming.
They don't last long.
No, they run out of batteries really quickly. Slick shoes.
Yeah, on the log.
On the log, which he used so the Fratellis ended up slipping and fuck, they did a backflip, didn't they?
Yeah, and one flipped over.
Over backwards, landed on their junk. They both landed on their nuts. And the pop-out boxing glove.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there were three additional inventions that we never saw because they were in deleted scenes or were cut from the movie, like the script entirely.
Mm-hmm.
So the first one was the Intimidator.
Dale Earnhardt.
The Intimidator was Data's entire outfit would grow him in size in order to intimidate those who like attempted to pick on him.
Right.
His coat was fitted with air bladders that would puff up, and his shoes would also make him grow 3 inches taller.
Wow.
He also this also had a device that emitted smoke as well.
Like so a smoke screen.
Yeah. I don't know why he did do that. He also had glasses of death.
Oh.
Oh shit.
So these are glasses that had rubber tipped darts on either side, which could be fired at will. He was so there was a part of this cutscene. He was to use this in anger about Mr. Perkins gloating about buying the Goondocks at the beginning of the movie. With them to ultimately they were going to malfunction and they sent the glasses would go flying. So instead of sending the darts flying, his glasses would have gone flying.
Nice.
Because none of his inventions ever worked.
Right.
And then finally, the last one we never saw, which was filmed and ended up being cut, spy eyes, which just like the suction cup belt and the pop-out boxing glove, this was a pair of binoculars that was attached to his waist, and they flipped out for use, right? So they're just on that little collapsible thing that comes out and extends up in there. He can see them or use them to see. They could also be adjusted on a slide. So upon their use, however, they break and the binoculars shatter on a rock, causing him to take off the entire device and ditch it. Now, this is a deleted scene from their first encounter outside of the abandoned restaurant. Mm-hmm. They're standing, scoping the place out, like, what is that? What's going on over there? And he pulls out these binoculars, but that whole scene was cut.
Just got cut?
Yeah.
Huh.
So there you go. That's some fun facts.
That's a lot of fun facts.
Yeah.
Dude, he had some cool shit. It's Data.
It's Data. Was cool.
It's cool.
I liked his role.
Talking about Smokescreen. Remember that game? I think it was on Nintendo called Spy Hunter.
Absolutely. It was also an upright video game.
Yeah. Didn't he have like a smokescreen?
100%.
Yeah. That was a great game.
That was off the back and they had the slick stuff.
Like oil slick.
Yep.
Yeah. Spy Hunter. That was good.
Speaking of that, Commodore 64 had a Goonies video game, which I don't recall at all. I didn't even know it existed.
I didn't know. So I didn't know that existed until later.
Okay.
Like well after. Because I still have a Commodore 64.
Cool.
It's in boxes. And I still have all the discs and shit too. And so it was much later I had discovered that game. I actually found it on the inner tubes and got it for like $2.
Goonies.
You should check on that shit. There's a new show on Netflix called Golden. I think it's like Gold, G-O-L-D-I-N is the name of the guy. And it's a auction house. Not auction house. I guess you'd say auction house, but they'll list items for you. Usually it's sports memorabilia, cards, like game-worn jerseys, but also vintage electronics like that. This guy has this one guy. They went. He had like every Apple computer from the very first one.
I see that's on Netflix or something, right? Yeah.
And the one Apple computer, I think it was the Apple One, is worth like $500,000.
Yeah.
You know, and then this guy would buy one and always keep one in the box. So he has some that are out and usable, and another one. So he's selling the ones in the box, and if you have them in the box, they're worth.
I know a couple of guys now our age, but when we were kids, there was a couple of them that their parents did that shit. Like, here's an Optimus Prime to play with, and I'm going to keep this other Optimus Prime in the box. Oh, here's a Cabbage Patch to keep and, play with. I'm going to keep this other one in the box.
Put up in the attic and then.
You name it.
Wow, that's
because if you're going through all that to at least get one, it took a while. Yeah. So if you're going to get one, you might as well get two.
Get one to play with, one to hold on to.
I know the iPhone just sold, the iPhone 1 in box, non-used, just sold for like a shit ton of money.
Why? It's just a piece of shit. It's an unusable phone.
But I'm just saying in box, it's just something for like
collectors.
Yeah, collectors over time.
I know the iPods too go for a good amount.
Really? Like
the original, the ones with the dial, you know what I'm saying? I guess they call them I forget what they call them.
iPod.
Yeah, but there's like a name for it, like that version. But anyway,
there's the iPod, the iPod Mini.
It would be before the Touch and before the Mini, whatever that one was called. The iPod Classic, I think it is.
Sure.
Like people want those.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like people that are purists that are like, and I say purists because it's digital, but they don't like streaming. Now everybody does streaming in your playlist and you don't really, and they said you go back to your iPod, your iTunes playlist and I forgot about that song because it'll never pop up on your, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, technology. It's wild like that.
They did say that they had a spinoff of this on the Cartoon Network. I don't recall that either. Does anybody know? And they said Corey Feldman came back to do the actual mouth in that show.
Did not know that. Matt, you mentioned the video game that was available for Commodore.
Mm-hmm.
So what's interesting is I also remember seeing but never playing because I didn't know the movie. The Goonies 2 came out for Nintendo.
Oh.
But Nintendo never had a Goonies 1. It was always... Like it started with Goonies too, because
Nintendo, you said?
Yeah, because the first one had come out for the Commodore.
Hmm.
The Goonies video game does not look good. It looks like a really bad Mario Brothers.
So if I remember the original, is that the Goonies? Are you showing pictures of the original or the Goonies 2?
This is the original.
Looks like Castlevania.
Kind of. Yeah, so that game is actually set up more like a
1986 platform.
It's set up more like a puzzle game than a. Than a walk around and run around and having a fun kind of game like that. A Super Mario Brothers, right?
Like a free world kind of.
Right.
So the Goonies house, the one that, Sean Astin and them lived in, it was used to be open to the public. You'd go in and tour it and stuff like that.
Cool.
But as of 2015, they stopped doing that.
Too many visitors?
Too many people coming.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, because at Astoria, like I said, people go there if you're a fan of the movie.
Sure.
They're going there, sightsee and stuff.
That's what, when I was in New Mexico, when Breaking Bad was big, we went to drive to the house that the house was
Yeah, but the pizza on the roof.
Yeah. Yep. And they were putting up a fence, actually, the new owners.
Block people out.
Mm-hmm. They had enough. I forgot
about that. The pizza on the roof. God damn, what a good show.
Oh, it's the best. Yeah, it's my
what
favorite show.
What a great show.
Oh, there's an R2-D2 on the deck of the ship in the Goonies. They say if you look closely, you'll see it. Yeah.
It's Spielberg put it there.
Yeah, look closely. You can spot the R2-D2 from the Star Wars on the deck of the pirate ship.
Hmm.
Well, Spielberg and Lucas were boys.
Like, they were tight.
Yeah.
So the role of Andy, I have somebody here. Heather Loggenkamp auditioned for that, but they thought she looked too old.
Wait, what's the last name?
Loggenkamp.
Loggenkamp?
Is that how you say
like
that?
I'm going off to Loggenkamp?
Yeah, well, it's spelled...
she was blonde, wasn't she?
L-A-N-G-E-N. Loggenkamp, I guess you say. I don't know how you say. She was in Nightmare on Elm Street. Played, not Tina, but who's the main girl in Nightmare on Elm Street.
She's the one that was in, like, all of them.
The Dream Warriors, all that.
Oh, the brunette that got that ended up her hair going white.
Heather.
Yes, mm-hmm. Heather.
Heather, yeah. So she auditioned, but they said, now that would have been after Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yeah.
Because that was 84.
Yeah.
They said she looked too old.
She did.
Yeah.
Freddie aged her.
Freddie did, that whole thing.
Man, that's
she probably
a lot
wasn't
to deal
sleeping.
With.
It is, man. Okay. So, who's got some more fun facts?
So that arcade game in the beginning, in the pizza place, in the very chunks playing, was Cliffhanger. 1983, okay. Stand-up arcade game.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Corey Feldman described this movie as the Willy Wonka of our generation.
Hmm. Wise words from
Corey
Feldman.
Remember he like went whack, started like, he had like the angels, so he had like five or six wives.
And he had like, the singing thing just a couple of years ago. It was fucking terrible.
And I think he's still doing that.
Then like he thought he was Michael Jackson for like 10 years.
Mm-hmm. He did. He really did. He really emulated or tried to emulate Michael Jackson.
But wasn't he like in the little Jackson clan? Didn't like, you know, Mike have him over
they
used to hang out.
Probably.
Macaulay and him and crew of them.
And Bubbles.
Was Bubbles the monkey?
Yeah.
Nice.
Which I hear is not safe to have.
No, man. They will fuck you up.
One lady, got her like whole face and body and everything ripped apart. Like they had to reconstruct her whole face.
Yeah, it's...
Because of Bubbles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't want to mess with chimps, man.
Yeah, man. Just like you don't want to be the Tiger King either.
Oh, yeah.
What, who wants to hang around with tigers, man? They will scratch your fucking face off.
Well, no. The one trainer lady got her arm bit off, but he never... The tiger man
Siegfried
never...
And Roy or whatever.
No.
Oh, there's Siegfried and Roy. That's right.
They tore his ass up, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't want to mess with wild animals. No, they're wild for a reason.
Leave them in the jungle.
Yeah, I don't get it.
Because sometimes, like, our cat's kind of nuts, and...
Well, they say cats.
She'll like scratch and stuff sometimes. You're like, what the hell? I didn't
cats
do nothing.
Will kill you in your fucking sleep, man.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Imagine like a big ass cat with like a paw the size of your hand.
Yeah. It'd just take you
out. Yeah, just take you out. It's like a bear. I want a pet bear.
So I was aware of this because I remember when my son was real little and my daughter too used to play. There was a band called the Fratellis and they're from Scotland.
Yep.
And there was a song called Chelsea Dagger and I forget the other one was, but I used to play them all the time. Like mm-hmm. They were like real fun, upbeat songs. My son used to jump on the trampoline, like in the basement.
Cool.
We'd play the Fratellis. At that time, I hadn't seen Goonies in years. And this is in like 2006 or 7 or whatever. And I didn't really put two and two together until I watched Goonies maybe in between now and then. And mm-hmm. I said, oh, the Fratellis, that's that band. They obviously got that name from the movie, the Fratellis. So.
Although Fratelli in Italian means brother.
Brother doesn't
the
mean,
Fratellis.
Yeah.
She was also in that
Wendy's.
The mom.
She was in the Wendy's commercial. She was also in
Throw Mama from the Train. That's what I was thinking of, yeah.
But she was the
Billy
chick
Crystal.
That was yelling, where's the beef?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she was at the time of this movie, what kind of scares me. It was only like in her mid-50s. That's not far off from where we're at.
She's rough.
She is rough.
But she looked like she had a long
Well, she's an actress,
life.
Too. I mean, maybe she dumbed herself down or something for the role. I mean,
so she wore frumpy old clothes.
Yeah, and like did her back like that.
Yeah,
she
didn't
walked.
Do anything. Probably had no product or anything in her hairs.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Whatever.
But I'm just looking at her like she was 55. And then you got like Jennifer Aniston now. It's probably about that, you know, or somebody along those lines, like within that range. And it's just amazing what.
Oh, who was
different
the
you could look.
Eva Longoria. Have you guys seen her lately?
Or, her too. Selma Hayek's up there.
Selma Hayek's up
in
there.
In her 50s. Girl from Modern Family.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Who's the one that Ben Affleck just married again?
Lopez.
Lopez, she looks great.
Well, we're naming all that, like, Latino women. But
the one from...
Yes, Lugis.
It's like Viagra. Viagra.
Sophia that's Viagra. The one. Yeah, Sophia Viagra.
Yeah, well, yeah. You can see what we're into here.
Right? We got a type.
On the old dirty table.
Well, Jennifer Aniston's not, but...
She's still good looking. She's great looking.
A lot of those actresses, but when you can work out and eat right...
That's your job.
And, you know what I mean? Yeah.
When that's your job, easy. You're going
to do it. That is your job. You're not like...
I shouldn't say it's easy, but it's easier.
Running around, having a long day at work, eating late, like at 7 o'clock, you just want something and you're eating three bowls of cereal, then toast sounds good, then you just want to make an egg.
Chef Boyardee.
Yeah. Mm. Oh. Mm. Haven't had that.
Something tells me they weren't eating it hot.
The beefaroni.
Mm. See, I fancy the ravioli, the mini raviolis, or the spaghetti with mini meatballs.
But I don't know where their sauce is incredible. Why don't they sell
Chef Boyardee sauce?
Spaghetti sauce. Yeah. Now, are they not thinking where they can make money or what?
No.
It's almost like tomato soup with like it has a very similar to the Campbell's tomato soup.
But yeah, like when you're done with your bowl of everything we just mentioned and you got like a piece of just like shit ass butter bread.
Yep.
You just slop it, right it up. Oh man.
Well, that's how I make when I make chicken cacciatore. We make it quick and cheat at it. We use Campbell's tomato soup, chicken and spices and stuff and you cook the chicken, shred it. In tomato soup and you put it over rice.
Bam.
You know what I mean? Yeah. But that sauce, that tomato sauce is very similar. Mm-hmm. The tomato soup, I should say, is very similar.
Okay.
I'm sure it's all the same concentrate shit they use. But
yeah, it's nothing fresh.
One thing I think they do put in the Chef Boyardee sauce that it probably starts out as tomato soup, a very similar product, and they put cheese in it. And that's why it's got
Parmesan?
That.
Parmesan?
I don't know if it's Parmesan, but if you look on the ingredients, there is like a, it might be Parmesan Romano, whatever. And that's why it gets that orange, it goes from like a red to like almost like an orange color.
Yeah.
It's probably from the cheese. So you could technically probably make that.
You're saying in Campbell's?
Yeah, the Campbell's soup.
Condensed soup.
Yes. Mm. Yeah, if you look at it.
Speaking of tomato soup, so Heinz, you know.
Has tomato soup?
Pittsburgh soup.
Yeah.
Or Pittsburgh Heinz. Wow. They're all over the planet, right? So there's a lot of Heinz all over the fucking world.
Right.
So... They do a great deal of business.
They do have 57 varieties.
They do a great deal of business over in England as well. So next time you get the chance, go to the international section of your grocery store, be it, you know, Wegmans, Giant, whatever. Look at the, you will find in there not only such fun items as spotted dick, but you will also find Heinz tomato soup that was made in England. For Englishmen, for English people.
Oh, is that what they would like with the beans? I think they use Heinz for their their beans.
But this is just the soup. So you can look on the back of it and it'll get, and you can tell like the instructions are written with like English words. Like they use,
hello, mate. Yeah.
Turn the hop on to medium. And the hop is an oven or the stovetop. I'm sorry, the stove. So the hop is the stove. So turn that on to medium and they tell you how to cook it, whatever. We're reheating it, but. Look on the so it's amazing that this was made in England, and
shipping it over here
to Pennsylvania, despite the fact that fucking Heinz is 3 hours away,
right?
In Pittsburgh,
yeah.
But again, it was manufactured, in fact, in London, shipped over here, and then it. But yeah, so while you're there, again, don't sleep on the Heinz tomato soup. By the way,
it is banging.
Okay,
I'll try it. I'll try it.
Very good.
It's better than the Campbell's
and spotted dick. Just to see the spotted dick
is the Heinz spotted dick tomato soup a concentrate. Or is it right out of the can?
Out of the can. You don't need to add shit.
No shit to it.
Speaking of Heinz, where my brother-in-law used to live in Quakertown, they were the Heinz had a ranch there.
Like and ranch dressing?
Like a ranch where they have like cattle and,
that kind
of. And horses. And so going by this, it was about a mile and a half
was
away.
Was it hidden
from,
in a valley?
It was kind of going down towards... It was kind of going down towards the valley. There was like a creek, streams running across it.
Right.
But they had where they were building, like to build their house, they had every like huge rock moved to like make fences. Like the place was crazy.
Yeah.
But I mean, the money that the Heinz have.
Oh, that's crazy. Are they from out that way?
They're from Pittsburgh.
Oh, they're from Pittsburgh.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
But
that's right. You're
this
right.
This was in Quakertown.
Nice.
Outwards, but I mean, it's just land out there. That's where a lot of people go.
I was out that way not too long ago. It is.
But it was in a valley. It was a hidden valley.
Yeah, that's what I was getting at.
You had to search really hard for it.
Yeah.
Right.
Once you find it, it wasn't
there.
Hidden
it's,
anymore.
It's very green, let me see what else I got here. Not like a shitload on this, but...
No, I mean, the movie's pretty much... The fun facts are in the movie.
Well, there was about the one-hour mark, Mouth makes a comment about Martin Sheen played Kennedy And that was from a movie called The Missiles of October, in which Martin Sheen played Robert F. Kennedy. That's where he got that
Hunt for Missiles of October.
Yeah, is that the one?
I thought that was Sean Connery.
You arrogant ass.
So June 7th is Goonies Day, and that was declared by Willis Van Dusen, who was the mayor of Astoria.
So yeah. It's Goonies Day in Astoria or just Goonies Day every place?
I think everywhere, I'm assuming. But maybe it's just...
I think it's like when they make it a day in your town, or I think it's just there. Like, we don't celebrate it on our calendar.
I don't get off for that.
Yeah.
No, I don't get off for that either. But it could be a floating holiday.
Could be one of them. Could be. I know my wife gets off a lot. You know, and if it
really
worth
good job,
well, yeah, that too.
Easy. But that woman's a saint.
With a state job, you know, she would have off because they get off for everything.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You get off for St. Swithin's Day and Flower Day.
She gets off a lot. Jesus,
Dave. You just got that now?
That just hit me. Yeah, it's good. I got to watch with you. Yeah. Both of you.
So, speaking of days, so I know you said June 7th. So, in an ironic or coincidental twist, this movie takes place on the same day that Marty McFly goes back to 1955.
Oh, shit.
How cool. That's a fun fact.
October, whatever,
21st or whatever.
25th, 21st, whatever. 1985. That's the day that this movie takes place. Yeah.
How about that? That's cool. So there was a lot of skulls and like skeletons in this movie.
Sure.
The one-eyed Willy one was made from real bone.
We learned that in... what was the movie? They used a lot of...
That was Poltergeist.
Poltergeist, yeah.
They didn't tell the actors.
Yeah, they used a lot of real skeletons because
it's
just easy and it looks good.
Yeah, there was one of these that was plastic. It was the only one that was plastic, and I don't see it here. I had it written down somewhere. Or not written down, but...
Could have been Chester Copperpot's skeleton.
Might have been that one. It was plastic. Mm-hmm. But all the rest were like actual real skeletons. Because one of the skeletons, they actually said, I think it was One-Eye Willie... was the one that was actually, they knew who the guy was, like whose skeleton it was. I'm trying to see. I thought I had it here.
Oh, I think I saw that. It was whatever. He died of lead poisoning.
Yes. Yeah,
so I took that as a joke. So you get shot, you can die of lead poisoning because the bullet, you know.
Oh, there's another deleted scene. there was another deleted scene where they go to a convenience store and they run into Troy. He bullies them and takes away their map and lights it on fire, pretending it's a cigarette.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's why later on you see the edge of the map is like burnt. The edges of it, yeah. Okay. But that was like a scene that they take out.
So they're Troy.
By deleting those scenes, by deleting that scene and the octopus scene, they fucked up the continuity when it's later revealed, one, that the map is burnt, and two, when Data's talking about the octopus to the reporters at the end of the movie.
Right, that makes sense.
Yeah.
So this was given a cinema re-release in the UK. They put it back out in like 2019.
That's awesome.
Upgraded to 4K and all that. So it actually did better than most of the movies that were actually out, newer movies that were out at that time.
Was it called Oi, Goonies?
No. It was just Goonies, but it like outperformed. You think about it, like if you had a chance to go back, just go to the theater, something nostalgic to go see, like an old movie versus. Dude,
so they do that all the time, by the way, at
re-releasings.
Midtown Cinema does that.
Well, yeah. Midtown does, but
the one in New Cumberland does it now too. They just opened.
The Regal Cinema that's on 81 in Susquehanna Township.
Yep.
They do it. So that's sponsored by what's called Fathom Events.
Fathom Events, yeah.
And you can, at any month, you can go through and see what's coming out. Like, I mean, you can go to the theater and see Jaws. You can go, like, just last month, they had Casablanca.
Oh, wow.
Like, dude, I love that shit. And I'll go, like, to a mid-afternoon movie, because they'll only show it, like, maybe two or three times.
Right.
But, I mean, dude, I love that shit.
When I was in Nashville for work, I went to see Jaws on the big Regal
screen.
And it was great because I've never seen it on a big screen.
Yeah.
And it was one of the coolest things. To see, like, wow, this is great. And it's actually, I mean, Jaws is a great movie.
Of course.
It's timeless.
I think that Fathom Events might have been the one that I went and saw the guys that do Mystery Science Theater.
Yeah.
I saw that with you.
You went? Yeah, that's right. We went. Yeah. And they did a live one. So it was nationwide, but those guys they call it Riff Tracks. And they play these old movies that are horrible, and they rip on them, just like they do in Mystery Science Theater. Sure. But they call it Riff Tracks, and that was like an event they had at the same Regal Cinema. Mm-hmm. And it was cool. Just go sit. You're in like a room full of these people laughing, cutting it up and stuff. But these guys are doing it live on screen, but it's a digital feed and all that. But, yeah, that was kind of cool, though, that this movie outperformed, a lot of newer movies at that time. I don't know what it was going up against, but... So the Fratelli and her boys, that was based on a 20th century legend of Kate Barker.
Ma Barker.
Okay. Yeah. That's kind of where they got that idea.
She got the ill communication.
Ma Barker got the ill communication. Yeah. I don't know if there's really much else on this. I mean.
Yeah, we covered the Goonies pretty good. Man.
You guys got anything else we missed on it, really?
Man, I got nothing. I think we did a good job on this one.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
Watch it with your kids.
Yeah, definitely.
I would recommend that.
One thing I did notice watching it, and I did read it somewhere, is that there was a connection between the two with Sean Astin and Stranger Things, that he was in Stranger Things, but Stranger Things gave me a lot of Goonies vibes watching it, especially like the first season with the bikes and they're riding bikes and all that, and just that feel. And I can see
like
where
from 1985.
Well, that helps, but this movie, I think, definitely helped influence and Stranger Things. That's probably why it's so successful. We're so nostalgic, and even the younger kids like embrace
they love it.
Love it. That this is a movie I think that young or old, you'll enjoy it. So definitely go back and watch it. Like I said, it's HBO Max. I know Tubi TV. You can message that and try to borrow the DVD.
Yep.
And
deleted scenes.
Yeah. You guys got any other comments in closing?
Nothing other than, don't sleep on this one. Mm. And I'm sure everyone by now has seen this one. But just in case you haven't, watch this one.
Check it out.
$50 bill.
Yeah. Well, I don't know what we'll be back with next week. Definitely something vintage. And don't forget to go over and vote on our poll on Facebook. Let us know what you want us to review. We got a couple that we might be having coming up here that we're going to do a little small poll on, three that we were looking at. So maybe we'll get through those and see what we come up with. So like I said, Old Dirty Basement on Facebook and Instagram. On TikTok, it's at Old Dirty Basement Podcast. I guess that's it for now. So we'll catch you where?
On the flip side.
If we don't see you sooner, we'll see you later.
Peace. Thanks for listening to The Vintage Cinema Review in the Old Dirty Basement. If you dig our theme music like we do, check out the Tsunami Experiment. Find them on Facebook. Their music is streaming on Spotify and Apple, and where great music is available.
You can find us at Old Dirty Basement on Facebook and Instagram, and at Old Dirty Basement Podcast on TikTok.
Peace.
We Audi 5000.